Years ago, down on the streets of Hollywood, that's where we were. Hollywood. That's, listen, all the shops, all the places, that's part of the world, part of this cosmos, part of this place that we live. A lot of influence there. Materialism, all kinds of stuff to buy and sell. Not only in the shops, but on the streets. Not only the girls, but the guys and the occasional fellow that walked up to me opening up a little piece of aluminum foil. He wanted to sell me some crack. The world, the flesh, and the devil in the context of spiritual warfare. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. It is now May the 31st. It's a Tuesday night, end of May the 31st, 2011. Wow, how fast it went. How hot it was yesterday here and today. 90, 91, 92. Humidity very, very high. By God's grace, after the show, I'm scheduled to be out, well, I'm going to say in the world, but we've got to make a distinction between the world and the fallen world system. I mean, the world in the sense of I'll be in the woods. I'll be doing a jog, walk, exercise thing that I do in the mountain biking trails. About 5 miles, the woods, the pines, the deer, all that's back there, absolutely beautiful. I love going back there. A lot of times I stop just to pray, just to give praise to God for creation. So when I say world throughout this Tuesday night broadcast, I'm not talking about that, or the stars that I see at night so bright, or the rabbit on my right-hand side out these windows, jumping and hopping across the grass, getting into the woods. No, I'm talking about the fallen world system that you and I are a part of. You and I have been affected by, and we infect it at times. Your sin contributes to the world. To the fallen world system, and the collective sin contributes, but it's not just that alone. There is a presence embedded operative in this fallen world system. It's politics, it's development of religion and alternative spirituality, it's philosophies of life and ethics or non-ethics, all of it. Hey, I want to welcome you tonight. All those listening by satellite, blessings to you. By internet, blessings to you. And by the archives later on, blessings to you. It's 1 hour, 6 p.m. on a Tuesday night now. We missed Monday night. Something happened at the station. I think there was some kind of accident and something went wrong and knocked out lines. So we will have Monday night's beginning session up late tonight or tomorrow. We are on a week-long theme. Now, listen to the theme carefully. Critical mass, spiritual warfare. Now, that's the issue. Critical mass. You know how it is around the world or in a nation or in a neighborhood, in a family. When certain thinking begins to develop, certain attitudes or beliefs to where not just the minority, but now the majority begin to feel and think and will a certain way. That becomes the critical mass to where changes in a family, in a neighborhood, in a nation, and in the world. Critical mass, spiritual warfare. There is such a critical mass. We talk about it as feeling something in the air. We need to realize that it's far more than just feeling darkness in the air. If you feel anything dark and ominous, well, we have but scratched the surface of the deep. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions, if not billions, of entities. Dark spirits, species of them, types of them, the Arkay, the Cosmocrator, the Porneus Panumenikai, the wicked spirits in the heavenly realms, the Planos spirits. Jesus referred to them as unclean spirits. We can say dark, demonic, satanic. Let me tell you something right now. If you did not know this, you are living in the context of a spiritual war. If you've experienced hatred, racism, if you experienced theft and people stealing and betraying you and cheating you and abusing you, if you've experienced sadness and loneliness and apathy and meaninglessness in this world, then you are experiencing the effects of a massive spiritual war. Now, on Monday night, if you listen to the session, we describe the spiritual war behind all of it. But tonight, we're going to deal with spiritual warfare as it manifests in the fallen world system. Wednesday night, we'll deal with spiritual warfare as it manifests in the DNA of humanity, in the fall. What is that code? What is that inside of humanity that is automatically hostile to God, blinded to God? And the cross and its effect and salvation in breaking that code of conduct and putting in a new nature that leads to the glorification. And let me tell you something, that has everything to do with every single part of you, DNA and genetics included. Thursday night, we're going to deal with the devil. So Monday, the opening session, spiritual warfare. Tuesday, the world. Wednesday, the flesh. Thursday, the devil. And then Friday, radical evil in the sense of origins, nature, methodology, but specifically agenda. And that is the biggest element. This spiritual war is now manifesting in the world, critical mass, politics, military, economics, alternative spirituality, in the air, in the experiences, oh, the night visitations, sleep paralysis, as some call it, voices in the head, and the rise of an underground kingdom, the troops of the Antichrist. How close are we? Does the Antichrist live in Europe somewhere? False prophet under the ground? And what about the events? None of those events can occur without sheer bulk manifested dark presence and power. So where do we stand in the midst of it? Well, tonight we're going to deal with specifically the world system. You want to hear the words of God? Listen just carefully for a moment. The words of God, James chapter 4, verse 4, speaking to believers in Christ. Now listen to this. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship, Greek word philia, this is the idea of affection. Oh, I love the fallen world system. I'm attached to the fallen world. That's the idea. There is such an emotional, heartfelt love for the crack on the street, the racism in the neighborhoods, the violence that goes on. It's a love for the fallen world system. Here's what it says. Here's what God says. Don't you know that friendship with the world, fallen world system is how that word cosmos can be translated there. Don't you know that friendship with that fallen world system is hatred towards God? The Spirit of God goes on to say, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. None of you've read James 4:4, but that is an incredible statement. As a believer in Christ, spiritual war, it's not just the demons direct, not just the old flesh trying to come back or the enemy trying to bring you into temptation, but it's the world system. It's the fallen world system all around us. It's the lyrics in the music. It is the words of the philosopher. It is the media. It is the, well, the television programs, the movies, that then embedded with hostility to God, embedded with Satan's presence, nature, and his war on God, well, then there's going to be all kinds of influence from your music, from your movies, from your neighborhood, maybe in your family, maybe at the school, maybe at the university. Could it be at the university? I mean, in California, you know what they're doing now? They're wanting to legislate that from in grade school that the social studies program be changed and that now there would be a kind of gay history month, that all students must take a course in gay history. Now, of course, written by gays that won't tell you that thousands and thousands and thousands of ex-gays who left the dysfunction, the pain, the sin, the guilt, and are free, they won't tell you about that. How's your world? What's happening today? God, we read in the scriptures, you know, God in Christ, Jesus tells us, you know, we're to be, we're literally sent into the world, but not to be a part of it. We're in the world, but not to be a part of it. So if you want to, as a believer in Christ, understand how to have victory and freedom and consistent empowerment in Christ, then you got to understand that it's all about spiritual war, that it's all ramping up as never before in all of history. You can't play games. You can't live watered down. You can't be Laodicean. Not at all. I mean, is that the worth of the cross of the King of Heaven? To live apathetic, anemic, and weak? Not only no good witness to the world, but possibly being a very bad witness to the world. Well, in our first 12 minutes, we want to enter in to take a look at another verse. The Spirit of God gives us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. God says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world," or listen, verse 16, "For everything in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes," and there's a Greek word here, bios. It's the boasting, the pride of bios life, the pride of things you have, the pride of things you own, things you've accomplished. Pure, self-centered pride comes not from the Father, but from the world. What comes from the world? The cravings, the lust of fallen humanity, the sin nature, the flesh, the lust of the eyes. That's right. That's right. An individual told me the other day, is a lady, "I'm not going into that auto mechanic's place. When I do, I feel like all the men gather around to look at me and undress me." Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of bios, of the self-centered things that we boast about, that we evaluate our lives and think that we are better than others because of color, because of economic status, because of certain accomplishments, where we have stepped all over everyone else just to get there. Do you understand the world system? Do you understand the world as it is? Maybe you're listening right now and you don't know God and the living presence and power of God's not in you. You've not understood the world you live in. You know its pain. You know its vices. You know all about it. You know something's wrong. And that's a good thing. And I think it's a providential thing you're listening today, because Jesus came into this world, fallen world system. Now, he loves the world of humanity. John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." You read verse 17, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." Context, the world of humanity. In James chapter 4 or 1 John chapter 2, the context of the Greek word cosmos leads us, we must understand when we're told, "Do not love the world." And I'm going to read it in the fuller Greek expression, cosmos, in the context. "Do not love the fallen world system that opposes God, or anything in the fallen world system that opposes God. If anyone loves the fallen world system that opposes God, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the fallen world system that opposes God, that lust of the flesh, that lust of the eyes, that pride of life, well, it doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from the Father. All of that betrayal and cheating and stealing and using of you, the media that rips you off and manipulates, the world that we live in where the world-committed elite, fallen world system that opposes God, they're committed to it. They're committed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride, the boasting of bios. What they have, what they want to have. What are you part of? This fallen world system? What do you love? This fallen world system? If you're saved, born of the Spirit of God, did you not get saved to be delivered not only from the fallen sinful nature and sin, not only from Satan and his activities and rites, but from the fallen world system that is moving in one direction? Fully away from God. As a matter of fact, this is the world system that becomes the platform. The platform for a deeper, broader manifestation of Satan's will. His will against God. Well, it says very clearly in 1 John, again, chapter 2, verse 17. The world, the fallen world system and its opposition to God, its desires, well, it's passing away. So if you're going to love this fallen world system that is in opposition to God, you're going to be sucked into the great deception. You're going to be used and abused and betrayed. And by your choice, you stand as an enemy of God. You can read about it again in James chapter 4. I would encourage you to do so because simply said, verse 4, chapter 4. Anyone who chooses to be a friend. Greek word meaning this deep affection. It's what you really love. Oh, I love that hamburger. I love that pizza. If in your heart you love the fallen world system, if you love the party till you puke, hedonism, if you love the atheism, the deism, if you love the existentialism, the nihilism, if you love that which is in direct opposition to God, a platform for Satan, if you choose to become a friend of that, Word of God says simply this, my friend, you are an enemy of God. Jesus Christ sent into the world, well, to save you out of it, to break you free, body, soul, spirit, mind, heart, affections, all of you, a deliverance from the inside out, a deliverance from the depths of the power of the sin nature. Talk about that tomorrow. From Satan himself, the demonic rites. We'll talk about that Thursday. See, the act of salvation is an act, ultimate act of spiritual warfare. It is what Christ did at the cross. Now, we're going to dig into that again today, but I want to send a welcome out to many of you and to a dear friend. I got an email today that I thought was pretty great. Again, not gonna you know share any names, but simply says this. Maybe you're listening now. It says simply this: "Hello, Brother Russ. I was cooking my lunch today, May 31st, around 12:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I heard your voice twice saying, 'Pray for us, pray for us.' So I did. Don't know what's going on, but intercessor does. Blessings in Christ to you, your wife, and family." Well, I tell you what, I deeply appreciate you for the prayers. You know how I sign off, always asking. I believe that God brings answers. I believe prayer helps bring deliverance. Check out 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think prayer opens the door for God sending angels. Check out the book of Acts and Peter being delivered from prison because there was a group earnestly praying to God for him. Chains broke away. Guards were blinded. Iron barred gate opened up. Angelic visitation. And Peter goes right to the house of prayer where they were still praying for him. So I got to say thanks to this dear individual today, a brother in Christ. Prayers back. I received the prayers. And we have not been able to move yet. 3 months now. We're caught in between everything as we wait for God to open a door and to reestablish our broadcast and research center and all the rest. That's why we're behind. That's why there's been delays on things. So we are deeply appreciative of your great and awesome prayers. Now, I got to tell you something else that occurred today. And again, I cannot in any way reveal names. But I got a disturbing email also. And I'm going to put up prayers and ask you to put up prayers for an individual. This individual, just again, the Lord knows who this is. And you could just lay up some prayers for them. And, you know, I know about what's happened here. But today, this is just simply a pretty heavy-duty request. Here's what it says. Russ, my internet service has been interrupted. Can't join in for now. My family said they're going to kill me yesterday. I called a group of intercessors to pray for help. Then it goes on to say something about being at the end of time and in the name of Jesus. So let me just lift up the prayer here. For this individual, we join together in prayer that God bring extraordinary miracle of deliverance in their life. To those listening right now, may God save those that are not. May power fall and bring revival and deep dynamic sanctification. May the extraordinary miracles come and in the name of Jesus, heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders. Glorify Christ, Father, and reach out to hundreds of thousands down the road, 90 countries of the world. Bless, save, heal, and deliver, crush Satan's works in Jesus' name. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. You'll notice if you go down a little bit, Future Congress coming up in the month of July. We're hoping that you're going to come. Branson, Missouri. And I've heard now this is a tremendous place. So I'm thinking of just visiting it for the sake of evangelism, spiritual warfare, fellowship with other believers and speakers, and what God would have me do in the two sessions that I'm going to speak there. So I hope that you can come to Branson, Missouri, Future Congress. Tom Horn's going to be there. Many others. And you'll know the names once you look. It'll be one of the largest kinds of conferences like this that I've seen in the last three years. So we hope you can join in. Critical Mass, Spiritual Warfare, the front lines of past, present, and future history. Now there's a mini cast up, an overview for the entire week. And there's PDF file study notes if you want to follow the notes. Today's notes has A, B, and C. The biblical revelation on this fallen cosmos. B, the world system. And C, the God of this world with 5 points under that. So let's dig into it starting now. Under A, we talk about the biblical revelation. Now, I've said already that we read one of the most famous verses in the Bible, God so loved the world. Now, again, context in reference to the world, the fallen humanity. He loves us so deeply. That is the motivation of God. And God sent his Son of the world not to condemn this world of people, but to save us. So if you're listening, wherever you're listening, please understand, God has come for you. God is searching for you. If you can't understand the world and what is going on, if you've been working for peace and harmony and hoping that things will change, if you, like so many, want to see changes, you can't understand why there's such radical evil and conflict and attitudes and, well, cheating and stealing and robbing and betrayal and raping and all the rest. It has everything to do with the devil, sin issues, our fallenness, but also the world system. If you're a believer in Christ, you've been called, well, in Christ, in that salvation, to be set free from the influence, control, and molding of that world system molding you into what it's all about, trying to, by its peer pressure, lead you into the same hedonism and, party till you puke, do the drugs and, cheat, steal, do it all, all the stuff. That's what the world does. You ever get sick of the world, the fallen world system? You ever wanted to stop so you can get off? Well, that's coming. That's coming in Christ. But if you check out James 4, if you check out 1 John 2, you're going to check out two of the incredible revelations about how God sees the fallen world system. And as a believer in Christ, I've been called to be in this world, but not of this world. That is, not belonging to it, not loving it with my affections, not joining into it, not caring whether the lyrics to music that I think I like is in radical opposition to God, is absolutely vile. So what we put into our heads and what we constantly view and what we constantly do, maybe what's going to happen with some believers today when it comes to the world, when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's not just demons, though that plays a big part, not just your old sin nature, the idea of the temptation from within, which we're going to deal with on Wednesday night, but what's around you. That includes friends and family that are not saved, still connected to the fallen world system. Oh, they can't understand. They can't understand why you don't. You ever read it in the book of Peter? They think it's strange that you don't just join in, that you don't just party. I got hired years ago when I was in college to work at a local department store. Got there, and first day, I was invited to the bar afterwards to party with everybody. There were girls that were inviting. There was a fellow there that, while they were stocking shelves, opened up some bags of candy and slid the bag down for me to steal. I slid the bag back. It was very funny the next day because they noticed a difference. Somebody had gone to the manager and said, "Who is this guy?" And they told him, "Well, he's a young preacher going to Bible school and college, and he's working here part-time." Wow, did everything change the next day? People apologizing for their language, all kinds of other things, and avoidance, by the way, or making fun of. Then there was the occasional when people are by themselves, asking questions. So who do you got around you right now? What are they committed to? What do they love? What are they into? Is it sometimes hard to be a believer in Christ and to walk that walk without being drugged back down? If all the friends, massive partiers, if all the friends massively into the fallen world system that opposes God, loving it all the way, what do? Making choices to stand with God? I mean, I loved all my friends when I came to Christ. But when I came to Christ, all of this world, flesh, and the devil, fallen world system, flesh, sin nature, and the devil, well, that's what Jesus came to save me from. That's what Jesus came to exchange the dirt for his presence, his power, his life. It was the blood of Christ that washed me and cleansed me and set me free from the rest. It was the Spirit of God coming in that brought change on the inside. And there was the Spirit of God that lit up understanding and clearly seeing the ugliness of the past, the darkness, what evil really is, the stupidity, and a new life. And I wanted the new life. It wasn't that I wanted to reject anybody. I want to love everybody. I do that to this very day. I want to love everybody I see as God says to love them. It's in my heart. It's in my nature to do that, to love individuals. But I don't have to join. I don't have to tell the jokes, speak the language. I can't stand lyrics of even music that I think that is sounding good. I have no problem sacrificing the music because of the lyrics and even the spirit behind those lyrics. I have no problem sacrificing going certain places because what value, what other than evangelism. Somebody asked me, do you go into bars? I said, oh yeah, over the years I've gone into bars again and again and again with one purpose, taking teams in for evangelization. Otherwise, what good, what reason, what for? If not for direct evangelization, which we've done again and again with prayed up, strong believers going in to lead others to Christ and to share and to pray for healing and to pray against the demonic. Oh yeah, we've done that. I have no problem with that. But to go in and sit and drink? Are you kidding me? To go in and sit to the music and what, be influenced? Let me ask you a question. Who influences you? Does the world get the best of you, or are you literally free, know who you are in Christ, and know how to walk with power and victory and freedom? Might be a day to decide, you know what, now that I'm recognizing what the fallen world system is, now that I'm seeing what it's all about, this jungle that is really the extension of Satan's will and the flesh, the sin nature's opposition and hostility to God. You see, without our influence into the world now, school systems, political systems, education systems, where you work, all these places are getting influences from another source. Their ideologies, their philosophies, their ethics, their desire, their goals. You can lay out goals and tell whether they are part of the fallen world system or whether they're part of God and His agenda and His will. Man, I've got a great verse for you today towards the end. I don't want to miss it. Remind me not to miss it, okay? Wave your hands. Send me an email. By the way, every once in a while, it's good just to send an email. Say, hey, I'm listening from Canada. I'm listening from Mexico. I'm listening from Hawaii. I'm listening from wherever it may be. And by the archives, Russia, Estonia, wherever it might be in all the world, China, wherever you're at, Mumbai and all over, send a little note every once in a while. Because next to me I have this beautiful poster that a friend of mine from down in Columbus sent me. Has all the flags of the nations of the world. I love laying my hands on that as I pray ahead of time for this 1 hour that God reaches so many of you that I have never and probably will never meet. Love to come to your nation and do ministry there. But here we are right now. Let me ask you, if you understand in the biblical picture of things, if you look at James 4:4 and 1 John chapter 2, in God's description of the world, cosmos is the Greek word. It is a reference to this system where minds, hearts, actions, all flow with hostility to God, rebellion against God, openness towards the other side. And I think right now it's a critical mass. I think the world is opening up more and more and more. The fallen world system and its globalist ideology, globalist military vision, globalist elitists. Even on the surface of things, you can see it headed all in that direction. And it all becomes a larger... See, an individual can be a platform for the enemy. An individual can be a platform for the will... You ever read about this in Timothy? Yeah, that's right. People can be taken captive to do Satan's will. And it's possible to be taken captive to do Satan's will without knowing it. As a matter of fact, I think that's a lot of what happens among the New Age movement and counterfeit spiritual systems and where demons masquerade as angels of light. And then people embrace, and they're in the world system that says, let's oust the God of heaven and earth and creation and redemption. And let's in-house the God of this age, the God of this world. Well, point B is just simply this, that world system. It gets embedded. Now, I give an example. in the Old Testament where David, even, you know, in the struggle of the development of Israel, it talks about how Satan rose up against Israel. He enticed David to sin. You can find out that the world system, that's why there was a constant, you know, revelation to the new and growing, emerging people of God, the divine creation of Israel, and to be the people of God, to be the show house of God, to receive from God and then be the witness to the world. But constant corruption, constant drawing away, constantly going to the gods and goddesses and to the sin nature issues, and being influenced by the fallen world system instead of influencing it. See, the fallen world system, as a believer in Christ, Jesus says, you now be the light of the world. You now bring influence. You now go into those workplaces and education places. You now be an influence. Your life should have impact. See, I don't want to just live behind the microphone, live just in my house alone. Wherever I go, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's if I'm involved in a university, if I get invited to be a... Listen, if I can go somewhere to bring the influence of Christ, the wisdom of God, and the message and the work of God, then that's what I want to do. I want to bring influence. And I believe that every believer in Christ is either going to be a good influence in the world, light to the world. Literally, local churches are to be lights like a lampstand, to be a light to the world, a light to the community. But it all depends on, again, our yieldedness, our obedience, and God's manifestation in and through us in that obedience. There can be a great contrast. It's right. You can be in high school and you can be a football player on a team and everybody else going to party, everybody else going to use the language, everybody else going to talk about the women, everybody else going to do their stuff, but there you stand. Well, man, have the spiritual guts in Christ to stand being a light. If others are convicted, let it fall on them. If others feel guilty, let it fall on them. You stand, listen, we don't stand in any kind of self-righteousness. We're not to be some kind of false Pharisee in the world. My life as a believer is to walk with God and to allow all of what He is to come through. There's no racism in my heart. There's no hatred of groups. There is no sense of, I want to steal, I want to cheat, I want to betray. In Christ, and the Spirit of God being in you, and reading again in the book of 1 John, by the way, reading the book of 1 John all of this week, dealing with critical mass spiritual warfare, I'm going to still say, 1 John deals with the world, the flesh, and the devil, all in that book. Our victory in Christ. This is the victory over the world. What? Well, our salvation in Christ. You ever read 1 John 5? What is victory over the fallen world system? If you can describe the fallen world system that opposes God and opens the door for counterfeit God, small g, whether it's in universities, in politics, in the disposition of the people around you, that fallen world system, you've got to realize that victory over the fallen world system comes in Christ. If you don't know God and you are sick and tired of the world system, you've been beat up by it, you've lived it long enough, you're tired of puking and sick of all of it, Jesus Christ on the cross comes defeating Satan, defeating the sin issue, defeating the fallen world system. Defeating death and hell also, my friend. In Christ, new life. In Christ, born of the Spirit of God when He comes into your life. And He's coming. He's knocking. He seeks you. You're listening now. And the Spirit of the living Christ, well, we can say, like the Scripture says, knocking at the door of your heart, your life. What are you going to do when God's knocking? What are you going to do when God is speaking to your heart? What are you going to do when you know that you've got guilt and conviction and you're absent of God and all over your life, your sin? The devil has you in his grip. And the world, man, it is just sitting on you. You're going to live and die that way? God seeks to draw you out of all of that. And I'm going to tell you right now, instantly, God can bring cleansing, forgiveness, brand new life, his power, and set you free from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in Christ, teach you how to be free of the overwhelming influences of the world. There's a way to do that. Now, I'm going to do this a little bit earlier tonight because so many times we come to the end and I don't get there. The word of hope for the day, if you got the notes, we always kind of do this towards the end. But the word of hope for today in the context of the world system. See, you might be a believer and say, man, I got, you know, the demons, the devil, you know, I'm praying against them. Jesus delivered me. I've got authority in Christ. Okay. You know, you might be saying, you know what? I know what it is to have a new nature, the old sin nature. Romans 8, the law of sin and death, it has now been, I've been set free from that. And a new law, a new code, a new indwelling nature is inside of me. Okay, what about the world system? Let me read out of Romans chapter 12. That's the word of hope for today. Romans chapter 12. You ever read this? Now again, out of the book of Romans, after reading the first 11 chapters, after reading this enormous grace of God that he has poured out, the Spirit of God goes on to say, therefore, because of all this grace, because of all this mercy, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters too, in view of God's mercy, look at the cross. In view of all that God has done there at the cross, in view of a life given 100% for you, substitutionary atonement. That's a powerful theological term. It's Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He never sinned. He never gave in. Not to the devil, not to any sin issues whatsoever, nor to the fallen world system. Conquered all of it, and by his death, and by his resurrection, conquered death, conquered hell, conquered the separation between us and God. So therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Here's where you get to step into the offering plate. Let me tell you the story real quick. I heard years ago, a big old Indian seeking God. He goes to a church. He gets into one of those pews, you know, where he sits down. The music goes on. Everything goes on. The offering time comes. And the usher comes down the aisle and goes to hand him the offering plate. And the big Indian has his arms crossed, standing 6'5", looks at the usher, nods his head for the usher to lower it. And so the usher lowers the offering plate just a little bit. The Indian looks away, arms crossed, looks back at the usher and says, lower it. And so the usher lowers the offering plate just a little bit more. And then the Indian looks at the usher again and says, lower it. The usher got frustrated. And in front of the big old Indian, he set the offering plate down on the floor. And instantly, the big old Indian stepped into the offering plate. He stepped into the offering plate. God holds out before you his holiness, his power, his presence, his life, his will, his destiny. Step into God's offering plate. In view of God's mercy, offer the totality, body, soul, spirit, mind, your music, your media, your recreation, your time, your education. Offer your whole being. Step into God's offering plate. It is your spiritual act of worship. It is really the response we should give to Christ, is it not? God says in verse 2, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, the fallen world system that opposes God. So let me read it that way. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the fallen world system that opposes God. Don't conform to it. Don't give in to it. If it's bling that opposes God, throw it to the ground. If it's lyrics that opposes God, throw it to the ground. If it's ideology and philosophies, whatever it may be, don't conform any longer to the pattern. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God and not offend, grieve, quench the Spirit of God? You want to honor the cross, Christ, the King of Heaven? You want God to fill your life so broad, so wide? You want to be able to hear the voice of God in your life? You want to be able to know the will of God? You ever read this? You ever read this in verse 2? Here's where it explains that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Do you have anything higher than that? The desire, the plan, the will of God. It is good, it is pleasing, it is perfect. The devil's is not. The sin nature is not. The fallen world system doesn't have it in its heart. In Christ, we break free. In Christ, we are given the new life, set free with a new empowered nature to be able to stand up. You ever just desire that in your life as a believer? I want to serve God. I want to follow God. I want to walk with God. I want to accomplish for God. Well, that's good. Then do it. Let me give you a verse, a word of God, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life, Zoe, the Christ-like life, and Eusebia, devotion to God. You want to be ablaze for God? You want to walk with God? You want to become powerful in prayer, an effective witness? You want to be able to pray and see extraordinary miracles to the glory of God, to the salvation, healing, and deliverance of individuals? Well, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, get sick not only of the devil himself and of the old sin issues, but of the fallen world system and all of its patterns and educations and philosophies and lyrics and its critical mass. Defy it. You ever know the old hymn? Though none go with me, still I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the fallen world system, but be transformed. You ever read that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You ever read that? Transformed, that word right there. It's the word for metamorphosis. That is the word that is used of God doing a work from the inside out. By you recognizing the grace of God and the three enemies, the battlefields, where that dark side influences, Satan and demons direct, the old sin natures trying to bring influence back. But the world system. So in view of Christ, all that God has done and the empowerment that's in you right now, yes, you step into that offering plate. You offer the totality of your life to God and to say, God, here I stand to put into action your word. I stand against the world system. I'm not going to embrace its vomit. I'm not going to embrace its lyrics. I'm not going to embrace its philosophies. I'm not going to embrace what it's all about. I don't want it. So not being conformed to the patterns, the idea of being connected to that system of the world's patterns, but instead be transformed. How? By the renewing. Oh, I love this word used in the book of Titus chapter 3 in reference to the Spirit of God. By the renewing of your mind. The other day I was out. Actually, it was yesterday, Memorial Day. I was out with a hose working on some stuff, spraying some stuff down, and the hose got kinked. Always bugs me. I always buy that cheap $5 hose, and it gets kinked, and you know it's 25 feet away from you, and so you take the end of where you're at, and you kind of swing the hose up and down, hoping to unkink it, because on the other side of the kink is all the water, but once it gets kinked, no water's coming through your end. The idea of offering yourself is becoming unkinked from the world, unkinked from the flesh, unkinked. The enemy would love to kink you up. Same with the flesh and the world system. The power of God, the renewing work of the Spirit of God in your mind, in the precepts, in your nous, your mind. You realize the Spirit of God can literally bring the influence, animate, flow, be filled. How can you be filled with the Spirit of God if you haven't stepped in that offering plate and gave everything to God? Rejecting the world, the flesh, and the devil. Look at your house. Look what you're into. Look what you're doing. Are you following the patterns of the world? Are you embracing the world? Well, gut it all. Gut it all, like cleaning out a garage. Get out all the junk. Get rid of everything. If you got some junk, you don't need to give it to other people so they'll be influenced. Burn it. And in that yieldedness, guess what happens as God sees? You have just unkinked everything. That flow of God's beauty and power and holiness and life can move through your system, move through your being, your mind. Renewed by the Spirit of God, by the truth of God, by the presence and power of God, so that you can prove, you can discern that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Your choice. The story of the Indian, the offering plate. Have you stepped out into the offering plate, giving the totality of your being to God? Watching what will happen in your life, the cleansing, the freedom, making things clear, seeing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you know. And then, listen, realizing that if you have known that you have been forgiven and set free from the sin nature, that now you've made the clear choice and you've done what you've needed to do to throw out anything and everything of the world system to be so transformed, so renewed in the Spirit of God that your precepts, your ability to discern God's good, pleasing, perfect will, to hear God's voice. The Spirit of God loves this. The Spirit of God has great freedom in a life that's totally surrendered and given over like that. You see, in the world that we're living in, as it's ramping up, the world system, the fallen world system, is growing to a critical mass in fulfillment of the 3,000-year-old prophecy in Psalm 2. The peoples, the nations, and the kings on a critical mass level, so influenced by the dark side, so influenced by that agenda, that the world has critical mass in its stated hatred of God to the point that it's going to take its stand against God and against Christ. You need to be the light of the world now. You need to be used of God now. Last point on the notes that we have. The God of this world, listen, 5 points clearly about Satan's work in the world. He's inseparable from the sinful flesh nature. He's inseparable from the world system. Listen, point one. His entrance into the world gave him rights. Do you remember when Jesus says, the prince of this world now stands judged, that he has nothing in me? that all the influences and everything around Jesus, the sin influences and temptations, the Satan's direct, the world system, including its religious Pharisees and so forth, none of it had any hold on Jesus. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world system, Jesus said. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, not the facade, but the real arene, the peace that comes from God dwelling in you. Satan has entered the world through humanity's sin. Point two, there's a collective, Ephesians 1, chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now operative in the sons and daughters of disobedience. Ephesians 6, the cosmocrators, the arche, the exousia, these powers in the heavenly realms. You know, worldwide, there is this massive collective that's operative directly in the world, finding its inspiration in the philosophies and governments and politics and ideologies and everything that moves the world towards its agenda. Point three. Well, you read about it, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's called the God of this age, or the God of this world. Eon is the word. He is the small g God of this time period, blinding the minds of people. That's what his work is. And that actual spiritual work of the fallen cherub blinding the minds through philosophies, ideologies, false religions and spiritualities, hedonism, self, pride, whatever. That's how he works, to blind the minds. Point four, he's also called the evil one who is in control of the whole fallen world system. 1 John 5. Jesus protects us from him. We in Christ are set free from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Nevertheless, the devil himself is the evil one in control of the fallen world system. And point five, the globalist conquest that we're seeing on the physical level is only here because of what has gone on in the spiritual realm. Revelation 12 tells us, when it says the dragon, the ancient serpent, this painting of the picture of the full force of Satan's manifest presence, as he seeks to lead the whole world astray. What is the platform of Satan himself? The world, fallen world system. And he seeks to lead the whole fallen world system astray, all the way to Armageddon. We're coming towards the end of the hour, and I just want to say again, we're glad that you've come. If you don't know Christ, turn to him now. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Keep us in your prayers, yes. Thank you. We need your support. Keep us in support. That's how we do it. God bless you. Good night.